Would you turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verses 13 and 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep of the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy lived in difficult days for believers. The gospel was being attacked in two different ways. First of all, there was persecution, the opposition of the world to the gospel. And then there were the problems that were being caused by heretics, false teachers, who were promoting distorted and false gospels in place of the truth. And here we find Paul encouraging Timothy, encouraging him to be steadfast. And we find his exhortation is twofold. On one level, he tells him not to be ashamed of the gospel, of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner. After all, has he not, like Paul, entrusted the keeping of his soul, the salvation of his soul, to Christ? Doesn't he know that Christ is able to keep what we have committed to him against the day of judgment? He's a glorious Savior. Timothy, be like me assured of this good hope, this right that you have to life through faith in Jesus Christ. Know he will keep you. That will embolden you, whatever persecution you might face. Well, just as in Timothy's day, so we need assurance. That will give us peace. It will give us boldness. It's difficult to be bold in the faith, to be full of joy and comfort, and to be strong in the faith. And we're always looking at ourselves and wondering, are things right with me? If we're worried about our spiritual state, then it won't help us to be bold. Well, Timothy, like Paul, maintained that confidence. According to tradition, about AD 97 in Ephesus, he was martyred for the faith. We saw something of that assurance and how we can gain assurance last Sabbath. But there's a second thing that Timothy must do. Not only must he withstand persecution, he must hold fast the truth against error. These were perilous times. There were those who were being round who, concerning the truth of erred. Here's an example. They were saying the resurrection has passed already, and they were overthrowing the faith of some. There's this warning later on in the letter. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, we don't suffer great persecution, although there are those who might want to make us ashamed for the faith. But we live in days which are perilous days. Days where there is much error and much diluting down of the gospel. And just as there was spiritual declension and false and defective teaching in Timothy's day, so This is a constant danger to us, especially in our own day. When one little click of a button on a computer can take you to where someone who seems to be a sound preacher, and yet there are errors there. We have to be on our guard. We have to realize this exhortation is not just for Timothy as he is a preacher of the word, it's for all of us, that we must hold fast the form of sound words which we have heard, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And as we know the truth and are assured of the truth, so we will hold it fast for ourselves, share it with others, and seek to be faithful to the Lord. Let's then consider this exhortation that we have here. We notice three things. First of all, why we are to hold fast gospel truth. Why we are to hold fast gospel truth. We find that the apostle giving us a fourfold description of this truth, of the gospel, which reminds us why it is to be grasped, held on to, and contended for today. Firstly, it's apostolic truth, and therefore we're to hold it fast. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. It is apostolic faith that we are to hold fast. He speaks of what I have taught, what you heard of me. And of course, he's not speaking as an individual. He mentions in verse 11 that he was appointed a preacher and an apostle and as a teacher of the Gentiles. And he's not saying to Timothy, you believe what I believe, hold fast to the truth I taught you, because I'm a great thinker, because I'm a great teacher. And this will keep you right. Paul here is speaking as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, of one who was sent out and commissioned by him, of one whom Christ is using to lay the foundation of the New Testament church upon which we are to build. Remember how in Ephesians 2, he speaks of the church being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And here was Paul. Like the other apostles, he was to reveal what Christ had taught. And as he revealed and brought to their memory all that the Lord taught and did upon earth, so they would know the truth of God. What are we to do? We're to hold fast the truth of the gospel, because it is God's truth, because it is Christ's truth, because the message of the redemption of sinners by that once for all sacrifice of Christ on the cross in the ruin and the place of his people is not the word of man, but the word of the divine Christ. We do not believe the traditions of men, but the truth of God. And it's when the church professes the truth that was given to the saints through the apostles, then she is an apostolic church. Then she is a church founded upon the apostles and prophets, and above all upon Christ himself. And they say, look, hold that fast. You see, the truth matters. Why? Because it's what Christ has given. You and I, as we love Christ and are loyal to Christ, will believe all that he says, will do all that he commands, readily, gladly, because it is the word of our Savior. And it's when that's lost sight of, we find people distorting the truth, changing the truth, watering it down, because it's inconvenient. It's interesting, he speaks of the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. The word "the form" speaks of a pattern. Now it might be that Paul was saying to Timothy, look, you know the sort of truth I preached. You heard me preaching in different places. Use that as the model you should follow. But it may be he is actually speaking of a more general statement of truth, a confession almost of faith, but a catechism. You know, the basic summary of the truth that I gave you. You see, we live in a day and age where people really don't like the idea that we have creeds and catechisms. And you may come across people and they'll say, we don't need a creed. We don't need a confession of faith. We don't need a catechism. All we need is the Bible. Well, it's true. And the Bible is supreme. It is the only standard. But what does it teach? And you should be suspicious whenever anyone says, you only need the Bible. Because really what they're saying is, the creed you should believe is what I think the Bible teaches. And anything else, I don't accept. You're not to accept. And those who are the most schismatic and the most divisive are often those who refuse to actually set down in a bit of paper what the Bible actually teaches. We should be thankful that our forefathers have given us a confession of faith and catechisms. We need them. What's the test of orthodoxy? Of Scripture. But as we have the truth set forth in that way in our catechisms, we can test what we hear by it. Because we know the catechism is founded upon the Word of God and is agreeable to it. And it keeps you right. You young ones, it's difficult to learn the catechism when you're young, but learn it when you're young. It will help you as you get older and you understand more. You'll find that as you hear things, you'll be able to say, what does the catechism teach about that? I don't know if that's quite right. It will help you test things. It will help you understand the truth. We should all be students of our catechism and confession of faith. Because it will help us get a better grip on the truth. Timothy, hold fast that truth. And the very forms you were given, hold them fast. It will help you maintain the truth. We're to maintain it also because it's Christ-centered truth. He speaks of the form of sound words. And verse 8 speaks of the testimony of our Lord. What's gospel truth about? Christ Jesus. It's all about Christ Jesus. The truths of salvation through faith in Him alone. Here Paul in his letter he speaks of Christ as the Redeemer, Christ as the conqueror of death, the one who in God's mercy has provided salvation for sinners. You notice how even sovereign grace is seen in terms of Christ. Christ. Because he speaks of, in verse 9, of how God has saved us with a holy calling, according to his purpose of grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Dear God, in his sovereignty, saving sinners according to that sovereign plan, and we're not to divorce that from Christ Jesus. It's all bound up with what God was going to do in Christ. That God is the one who has predestined and chosen a people in Christ to save. And whatever truth, whatever doctrine we look at in Scripture, Christ is at the center. Look for Christ as you read the Scripture. Look for the times of Christ. Look at Christ as a great example. See Christ throughout Scripture. Because though all the Scriptures testify of him in one way or other. And as people speak and set forth truths, if it doesn't somehow go back to Christ, know that there's something going wrong. Because all truth leads to him. All truth radiates from him. He is at the center of the wheel, but all the other truths flowing out. He is the one who is at the center of truth. Maintain that truth, he says. It's health-giving truth. Hold fast the form of sound words. Why is Paul warning Timothy here? It's because he knows that there is much that is unwholesome. There is false religion, there are heresies, there are various things which are unwholesome, which are unsound, which do not give health. He speaks of those who are profane and vain babblers. And in verse 17 of the next chapter, their word will eat as of a canker, like a cancer, working away, destroying. How different is the gospel? It is health-giving truth. False religion destroys souls. Heresy destroys souls. There's much in the world that destroys souls. That's why we tell the young people, watch what you're listening to with songs. Watch what you're watching on the television. There is much that is unwholesome, unhealthy, which will eat us as a canker, or like a cancer that will ruin and destroy and kill the soul. The gospel truth's not like that, is it? Isn't it true that as you come in contact with gospel truth, you find it wholesome? It is sound. It revives the soul. The truth is according to holiness. And as we hold fast the truth, so we hold fast those truths which give us spiritual health and strength and stability, which keep us near Christ. In other words, when people say doctrine doesn't really matter, doctrine divides Christians, don't emphasize doctrine. Remember this. You're to hold fast sound words. True doctrine is health-giving. Error is unwholesome. If the truth promotes godliness, error will in some form or other promote sin and lead away from Christ. Sound doctrine matters. And let us never lose sight of that. Timothy, hold fast sound doctrine because it promotes good health. Notice also he calls it precious truth. That good thing which was committed unto me. Well, Paul and Timothy had committed their soul to Christ for safekeeping. And here is Christ now committing to them precious truth. Good truth. Precious truth. God's word. It's precious truth because it's God's truth. And therefore we are to hold it fast. We are to contend for it. We are to treasure it. And think of the good it does. Doesn't it save souls? Paul's got this assurance because he knows who he believes. He's embraced the truth. He loves the Saviour, and he has come to know him through sound preaching of gospel truth, not error. Here is this truth that is able to make the sinner wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. What happens when there is a dilution or loss of the gospel? Souls perish. You think of our own nation. We need of revivals before the destruction. We need of revivals in 1859 and even awakenings into the 1860s and 70s. Then it seemed a disastrous time. What happened? Liberalism came in. False doctrine came in. These words which were eating like a cancer. Tearing out the life from the church. And you find souls perishing. Why? Because you no longer know this Christ who's at the center of the world. And you look at the state of our society today. A nation destroying itself because of its rebellion against God. And sinners perishing. Why? Because of a failure to hold fast the form of sound words. You love your family. You want to see them converted. You want to see them growing up in the faith. Hold fast the form of sound words. Warn them about error. Nurture them in the truth. How many people tolerate watered down gospels, even when they know better themselves. And you see the effects in subsequent generations. People perishing because they do not know the truth. It's precious. Hold it fast. Well then, how is it to be done? We notice secondly the manner in which we are to hold fast gospel. We're given a threefold description of the manner in which we're to hold fast gospel truth. We're to hold it fast, firstly, as someone whose life depends on it. Isn't that brought out in the words hold fast? Cling to the truth. Hold to it tenaciously. Try picking a limpet off a rock. It's not that easy. Or you try to get your fingers round it and pull it off or move it, then what it seems to hold fast to the rock. It's wanting protection. And therefore it clings fast. Its life depends on its hold on the rock. Isn't that the picture we have? as you value your own soul, as you value the souls of others, because this is saving truth, because we know of others who have been shipwrecked of the faith, hold fast the truth. That means we will be uncompromising. What happens if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound? They don't assemble for the battle. They're not ready. No. We must be uncompromising. Hold fast. And then there's a second picture given. It's like someone who's a guard. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. A keeper, a guard, a sentry on guard duty. Well, think of someone on guard duty. What are they to do? They're on watch. And they are to keep observant so that they will see the enemy coming, raise the alarm, and keep the city secure. Well, we have to be in the watchtower. We have to be on the lookout. We have to be discerning. It was the apostle of love who said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, for many false prophets have come out into the world." Isn't that true? Are you on guard? When you listen to things, when you read things, are you saying, "Is this truth?" Are you being like the Bereans, going back to Scripture, searching them daily to see whether what is said is so? You see, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. And a stranger will they not follow. We've got to be observant. We've got to be aware that little things matter. Little slips open the door for greater things. Just as the watchman sees a slight movement. Oh, it might not seem to matter. Perhaps it's just the breath of wind in the trees. Or is it someone moving? An enemy. We've got to be observant. And notice little things. Little errors that creep in. Just as you and I have to watch yourself with those little foxes, those little temptations and sins which can ruin our spiritual life. So there are little errors which can soon lead far from the truth. The liberalism which virtually destroyed the professing church in our own land, I see 1920, coming in small ways. Coming with people still saying, "Well, we still believe we're sinners in need of a Saviour." But just that questioning, can we really take the whole of God's Word seriously? What's said about creation? Well, surely all the scientists are teaching us doesn't fit in with that. The miracles, are they quite right? The resurrection, could it really happen? Oh, we still believe the truth. And there was a lot of piety. But there were the seeds of unbelief. We have to be observant. And yes, we have to be uncompromising. One slip will lead to disaster for a city if the watchman is not looking. We need to be uncompromising in our hold of the truth. We must constantly be on watch. Hold fast. Keep the truth. Another picture given us. Hold fast like a steward. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. Paul was aware he was a steward of the gospel. That is, The gospel was something that belonged to God that he had been given to look after, to care for, to preserve, and to publish to others. He was to remember that it wasn't his gospel, but was Christ's gospel. And just as every steward would have to give an account of his stewardship, so Paul would have to give an account of his stewardship to the Lord. Well, you were asked to look after this. How have you done? Some of you may have investments. Might be in the bank, might be elsewhere. You get a report every so often of how they have done. Well, it's earned so much interest. It's now worked so much. We have looked after your investment and cared for it well. Your pension fund is now worth this amount or that amount. And you want someone who will be a good steward of your money. Well, Paul says to Timothy, you're a steward. This gospel's been committed to your stewardship. You're going to have to give an account. Are we not going to have it to give an account for what God has given to us? He expects his church. He expects those in office in the church, but all of his people, to hold fast the truth. And just as a steward isn't at liberty to say, well, I'm not interested in certain bits, it's his duty to care for all that is under his stewardship. So you and I are to hold fast the whole truth. You see, we live in a day and age where there's so much pragmatism in the churches. Let's speak about what's popular. Let's speak about what is attractive to others. Let's do what feels right. And there's no real asking the question, what does God say? What does he see as right? Or the fact that the Word of God reminds us the gospel isn't really popular with an actual man. He does not understand, he does not like the things of God. They are alien to him. Don't talk to me about sin. Don't talk to me about grace. Don't talk to me about the demands of God's law. Don't talk to me about the need of salvation. That might be heavy feelings. But if we are stewards of the truth, then it is our duty that we will have to give an account on the great day to speak the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. To hold it fast. What responsibilities we have to pass on to our children and our children's children and to spread to others this glorious truth. But we must notice a third thing in our text. We must notice thirdly the spirit in which we are to hold fast gospel truth. You see, this is where we so often can go wrong. And therefore it's important that we have the right spirit if we hold fast the truth. First of all, we must have faith in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the form of sound words in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Friend, do you know the truth? That's good. It is good to know the catechisms. It's good to know what the confession of faith teaches. It's good to be able to defend the truth. Perhaps you do that and you argue with others. You can say, well, my church is a faithful church. It professes the truth. And these people are departing from the truth and promoting this or that. It's good to know these things. But friends, realize there's a danger of a mere intellectual assent to the truth. You're to hold fast the form of sound words, but you're to do it in faith in Christ Jesus. All that is ever, do it with pride. There are those who are proud of their upbringing, proud of their church, yet don't of Christ and the gospel. Do you love the truth? Make sure you first of all embrace that truth. As you think of contending for any truth, make sure you love the truth for Christ's sake. And that you do so resting on Christ, the Savior. Make sure you can say, I have committed my soul unto Him for safekeeping against that day. And it's because I know Him. And it's because this is the truth that I am resting on for salvation that I will defend that truth, because I know it is true. Faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's what we need. Without that faith in Him, our defense of the truth will condemn us on the day of judgment. You argue for the truth, but you never believed it yourself. Oh, let that never be said. Believe the truth. Live it out. Only then can you hold it fast. And you'll notice, joined with faith, there's love. In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Wasn't there a danger? Almost of a loveless profession or an adherence to the truth? Make sure that you love Christ because you know Him as your own. And therefore you love the truth because it's Christ's truth. You see, if we love the truth, we'll be humbled because of our own sin. We'll be overwhelmed with a sense of wonder that God in His grace should save sinners. And the love of Christ will constrain us to love Him and to love His truth. In love for Christ. And therefore in love for holiness, because whatever Christ teaches we want to do, whatever He says, we will obey. What a horrible sight to see someone contending for the truth and yet not living a Christ-honoring life. What a hypocrite. Oh no, let us love Christ and therefore love the ways of Christ. And yes, in love, which is in Christ Jesus, having a love as Christ had for others, speak of the truth in love. Well, let us, with humility and out of concern for the good to others, hold fast the truth and contend for the truth. Out of love for sinners, lest they should perish, let us hold fast the truth. That the spirit of love for Christ and love for the truth and love for others, permeate the very fabric of our being. Otherwise, we're not really holding fast the truth, because the truth should lead us to love. And then a final thing. You'll notice there's also dependence on the Holy Spirit. that good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Keep it by the power under the enabling of the Holy Ghost, he's saying. Look, Timothy, you and I are weak. You and I are going to be exposed to dangers and temptations, to sin and to error. There's that corrupt heart that's going to draw us away from the truth. We need care. Depend on him. The Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Depend on him that you might be kept in the theme and kept loyal to Christ. Oh, don't we need the Holy Spirit to bless the truth to our own souls and to keep us in the truth? Hold fast the form of sound words, relying upon him. We need him for everything. How often we rely on our own selves rather than relying upon his enabling. Well, you know the truth. Have you embraced the truth? Are you depending on this truth? The only form of sound words is the gospel truth of Scripture. And in the dark day in which we live, for the good of our own souls and for the good of others, we need to hold fast those sound words. Let us do it in faith. Love, which is in Christ Jesus, relying upon the Spirit's help, and may he preserve us in the faith and enable us to pass on to future generations the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Let us pray.